Now we're in a series that we've entitled The Way, as you can see up on the screen there. And we've been kind of focusing in on who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And we're spending all month long doing that. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter number 15. Those that have their Bible, and you're going to juggle your communion and you're going to juggle your Bible. We will have almost all the verses I'm going to talk about tonight will be on the screen. All the ones out of Mark chapter number 15 will be on the screen. I'll have a couple other that I'm going to share with you that we won't have up there. Mark chapter number 15. I'm going to read a couple of verses. We'll have a word of prayer and then get started here. Let's start by looking at verses 33 and 34 together. It says, "And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night where we can just stop and reflect on Jesus and what he has done for us, the sacrifice that he has made for us. And God, if there's somebody here tonight that has never trusted Jesus to be their Savior, I pray that tonight, as we stop and we remember Jesus, that your Spirit would convict them of their wrongdoing, God. And they would trust Jesus Christ to save them from their sins and be gloriously born again and have their life changed forever tonight. And God, for Christians, I really pray that you would challenge us to live all out for Jesus. God, you gave everything for us. Help us not to withhold from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, to catch up maybe some of our guests who are here, the reason we call it The Way, really, as I mean, there's a biblical tie to it, but the idea came because I was watching Star Wars, The Mandalorian. And so we've been talking about Star Wars for the last couple of weeks. And for those of you that have not seen The Mandalorian TV show and have no idea what I'm talking about, they have a saying. And the saying is, "This is the way." And as I was watching that, I was like, you know, I can think of somebody else who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," in John chapter number 14. And we covered that a couple of weeks ago. And so we've been using that as, in talking about Star Wars a little bit. So I want to open up and just talk about Star Wars, because one of the things about that you'll find out very quickly, for those of you that are fans, you already know this. Those of you that are not, Star Wars is no stranger to death. Like, some of our most beloved characters we watch die on the screen. Some of our most hated characters we watch die on the screen. And I'm kind of curious, when you think about it, what to you is the saddest death in Star Wars? Whose death hit you the hardest? Anybody want to share with us? Yes, Han Solo at the hands of his son Kylo Ren. Yes, that was one that hit me. That hit. I didn't see it coming either. Like, I had an idea like you did that his son was going to be redeemed, kind of like the first one, and it didn't happen. Anybody have a one other than that? That was one that hit very hard. And so when I think about even that. It was, to me, I don't know how you feel, I love Star Wars. I grew up watching Star Wars. And so my brother and I, we had the VHS tapes, and we would just watch them over and over and over again and kind of wear them out, especially that original trilogy. Then there was the whole Jar Jar Binks debacle and whatever. But when Han died, it was like having one of my close friends die. And you're like, "Man, you are pathetic." Yes, I know I am. But that kind of leads into what I want to talk about tonight. So far, we've talked about the fact that Jesus is the way, And then last Sunday, we focused in on the way of suffering. And we looked at some of the things that Jesus went through us. And I'll kind of reiterate that in just a little bit here. But tonight we're going to be talking about the way of death. The way of death. And look at what Jesus did for us, but also what does that mean for us? And so I don't want us just to leave here kind of sad and solemn. I want us to walk away from here motivated to live for Jesus the way that he wants us to. And so we're going to pick up in Mark chapter 15. We've read verse 33. Let's look at it again here. It says, "And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." And we'll talk about those hours in just a second here. But kind of to catch up some of you to where we are now. At this point, Jesus had already been beaten. So before he was betrayed, Jesus sat at what we call the Last Supper. I'm sure every person here has seen a painting of that and probably a meme and a portrait of different things. I know they have like a dog Last Supper where all these dogs or whatever are around the Last Supper. Everybody's seen that Last Supper. And while he was there with his disciples, he instituted what we look at as communion. And he said that his body would be broken for us just as he broke the bread. And he was speaking literally. One of the things Jesus did is he took the bread and he began to tear it and then he passed it out. And we have a wafer that represents that torn bread. But he tore the bread and he passed it out to his followers and he said, "Hey, this is my flesh that is going to be torn for you." And as we talked about Sunday, when we talked about him being beaten, they would take a cat of nine tails that had a whip with nine leather straps on it. And attached to the end of these leather straps were pieces of metal and glass and bone. And these soldiers who were trained in torture, they were trained in abuse and beating, they took Jesus out with that cat of nine tails and they began to whip him. And as they whipped him, those leather straps come across his body that had been stretched out tight. And the metal and the bone and the glass embedded themselves into his skin. And then they would rip it back, literally shredding his skin from off of his body. So when Jesus told his disciples, "Hey, this bread represents my flesh that's going to be torn for you," he was speaking very literally. And he said, "As often as you take this bread, I want it to be a reminder of my flesh that was torn for you." See, Jesus was not forced into paying the price for our sins. Jesus willingly offered his body as a sacrifice for us. And he said, "Every time that you do that, I want you to remember that." So let's take that bread, that wafer that we have tonight, and let's remember his body that was literally torn for us. So Jesus, up to this point, had been beaten. He had been mocked. Of course, they took the crown of thorns and they placed it on his head. They put the robe on him and then they took a scepter that they had made and hit him on the head, driving that crown of thorns deep into his skull. They spit on him. They mocked him. They punched him. And then the time came for them to go away to be crucified. And we read Sunday, verse number 25, that says it was the third hour when they crucified him. Now, that's 9 in the morning according to the Jewish time. So these times that are listed are Jewish times here. So at 9 in the morning, they crucify him and nail him to that cross. Now we get here to verse number 33, which tells us that it is the sixth hour now. So it's noon. So for 3 hours, he has been nailed to this cross, which is probably one of the most painful and excruciating ways that someone could possibly die. And it's no coincidence that this is the way that Jesus chose to die and was prophesied that he would die. Because as we looked at Sunday, he wanted all the suffering for us. He didn't want it dulled. He didn't want it taken away. And so for 3 hours, what they would do is they would have the nails in their wrists, and they would have to pull themselves up, pulling on the nails and the nerves and all that pain so that he could catch a breath. And while he was hung in this manner, he couldn't breathe. So he had to fight for 3 hours for every single breath, and every time there is pain and there is agony and there is suffering. And sometimes we sing the songs and we see the symbol of the cross and we don't really take time to contemplate what all that entailed. And I don't know that we could actually fully understand all that that entailed. And so here he is. For that long he is suffering. And it tells us in verse 34, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And this is something that we can't even scratch the surface to understand, because we don't fully understand the relationship that Jesus had and it continues to have with God the Father. And yet, here is a time, it's the first time ever, where that relationship is broken, where God turns his back on his own son. And Jesus makes that cry there. He's actually crying out one of the Psalms. He says, "God, why have you forsaken me?" And can I tell you the reason he was forsaken? He was forsaken because of me and because of you. Because of our sin. Our sin was placed on Jesus. And God judged Jesus Christ in my place and your place. And so God turns his back on his son. And Jesus is there suffering the wrath of God in my place and in your place. Which was probably, it doesn't say this, but just thinking through this, was probably way worse than any physical pain that Jesus endured. Was that emotional suffering, that spiritual suffering that he went to on our behalf. And in verse 35 it says this, "And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, 'Behold, he is calling Elijah.'" Elijah was one of the great prophets that we read about in the Old Testament that did all kinds of miracles, highly revered in Israel. In fact, to this day, the children of Israel, the Jews, are looking for a figure like Elijah to return. He says, "Hey, he's calling for Elijah." Verse 36, "And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down.'" Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And so we talked about this a little bit on Sunday, because earlier he'd been offered this wine that was mingled and mixed with myrrh. And remember, that was to kind of help those who were suffering on the cross alleviate some of that pain. And remember, when they tried to give it to Jesus at that point, he would not take it because He didn't want to dull the suffering. He wanted to take all of it for us. But now he's come to a place where for so long he has been fighting for every last breath. And so they give him something to drink so that he's able to say the words that he wants to say. In John chapter number 19, verse number 30, I want you to listen closely to this. It tells us what that last cry was. We just read that he took the drink, he uttered his last cry, and then he died. Here's what he said, according to John 19, verse number 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And the words are very important here. Because Jesus said, "No man takes my life from me. I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it up again." It tells us that he gave up his spirit. In other words, he is the one who dismissed his spirit from his body. No one took his life from him. But that last phrase that he cried out was, "It is finished." It's finished. Maybe you've heard it put this way before, "Paid in full." In other words, the price for our sin had been fully paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from our vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Jesus. And not only did Jesus say, "Hey, my body is going to be torn for you," he said, "My blood is going to be shed for you." He actually began to shed his blood the night before in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was there praying with his disciples and his heart was in extreme agony. And he's crying out to God the Father, understanding fully what he's about to go through to pay the price for our sin. And it tells us that he sweats, as it were, great drops of blood. He began the night before to shed his blood and pay the price for our sin. And then with every whipping, with every punch, with every piercing from the crown of thorns, every drop that came from the nails that were in his hands and his feet, he shed his blood to pay the price for your redemption and for mine. And there is no other price. Do you understand? If we can get to God, if we can find salvation through anything other than the sacrifice of Jesus, then God did not answer Jesus' prayer. Jesus in the garden, as he was praying, said, "God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me," talking about the cup of God's wrath that he was about to endure, that cup of suffering. He said, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way," he said. And then he said, "Not my will, yours be done." And we understand that there is no other way. I'm glad you're here tonight at Beachside, but coming to Beachside will not save you even on Good Friday. Showing up to Easter Sunday will not save you. Taking communion is not going to save you. Giving money or any other thing is not going to save you. The only thing that can save us is Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And he shed his blood for us. And he told his disciples there in the room at that supper as he took that cup, took the wine that they had, he said, "Hey, this represents my blood that I'm going to shed for you for the remission or the forgiveness of sins." So as Jesus cried out on the cross and he said, "It is finished," the last drop that needed to drop, it happened, and the price was paid, and redemption was possible. And Jesus told his followers, "Listen, every time you take this cup, remember my blood that was shed for you." Let's remember his blood. Mark continues to give us a little bit more information here. In verse number 38, so Jesus has cried out, "It is finished." And then he allows his spirit to leave his body and he dies. Verse 38 tells us this, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And you say, this is kind of a weird information, but it's very important information. For those that may not be as familiar with what this curtain is what divided the people from God. It was put there to protect them because they were not allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies, or it would mean their life. So when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and he died, that veil was torn, signifying that the way to God had been opened. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter number 14. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me." And as Jesus gave his life, that way to God opened because of what he's done for us. Don't no longer have to go through a priest. No longer have to go through a pastor. Don't have to go kill some animals. The way to God has been opened because Jesus paid the price for us. He was that lamb sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And then we get to Mark 15, verse number 39. It says, "And when the centurion..." One of these soldiers here who had a position of authority, who stood facing him, he's kind of watching what's happening, saw that in this way he breathed his last. He said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." And I love this portion of Scripture here because what a change in this soldier's life. Because he goes from mocking Jesus, torturing Jesus, killing Jesus, watching everything that's taking place the whole time. And Jesus makes that last cry. And one of the things that he says that we haven't talked about tonight was Jesus prayed a prayer and said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And the centurion's watching all this take place. Man, what a change that happens in his life. And can I just say, the gospel changes lives. And it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what your past is, Jesus can and will change your life. Sam and Adrian are here tonight. They're a couple of our newest beachsiders. And if you don't know Sam and Adrian yet, you need to spend some time with them and hear their story's amazing. I love their story. They themselves are professed atheists. But the gospel changed their life. And now they are committed followers of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel does. That's what the gospel does for this soldier. That's what the gospel does for every person who is here who's trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what the gospel can do for you. Jesus says, "Hey, if you believe in me, you will be saved." And so it changes lives. Anyone can change. Anyone can start over. Jesus' death makes it all possible. And so Jesus walked the way of death. And he wants us to walk that way too. In January, I did a series called All In. And we talked about what Jesus said it meant to really follow him. Not what I think or the church thinks or anybody else. Jesus said, "This is what it means to follow me." And in Luke chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says this, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And remember, that cross means death. And what Jesus is saying is you have to die to yourself. And I have to die to myself. In other words, I need to walk the way of death. So that my life, as I know it, is over. And now my life is to be lived for him. See, he's not asking us to go out tonight and literally crucify ourselves. But he's saying, hey, you need to die to yourself. You need to die to your selfishness. You need to die to your pride. You need to die to your sinfulness. And you need to live for him now. As a follower of Jesus, as somebody who's put our faith and trust in Jesus, that's what he calls us to do. Is to live for him instead of living for ourselves now. And I want to challenge you, when was the last time you really stopped to think about what Jesus did for you? I mean, he gave everything, including his life for you. Now, what would it look like for you to give everything to him? How would your life be different? How would your home be different if you decided, I'm giving everything to Jesus? How would our church be different if every single one of us that called ourselves Beachsiders gave him everything and every part of us? Man, what could be possible? What could we accomplish? How could we reach this community in a greater way? It's time for you and I to walk the way of death. Mark chapter 15, verse number 33 says this, and when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken because of our sin. Jesus died for you. He bore his cross for you. Are you willing to live for him?